Hey everyone, and welcome to this deep dive. You know, we know you're interested in exploring how the Old Testament tackles obedience to God, and we're so excited to jump into that with you today.
Absolutely.
We'll be looking closely at 1 Kings 2.
Okay.
And drawing some insights from a lecture by theologian Dr. John Oswald.
Perfect.
So 1 Kings 2 opens with King David, you know, on his deathbed, giving Solomon, his son, some parting advice. And he says, "Be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires." Now, this might sound like pretty typical fatherly advice, but one thing that really stood out to me from Dr. Oswald's lecture was this idea that David specifically links strength and courage to following God's way.
Right.
So when you think about it, like in your own life, what are some areas where obedience requires an extra dose of, you know, strength or courage?
Well, that's a great question. And I think Dr. Oswald actually explains this so well. He says that walking with God, you know, it isn't always easy, right? Because it often goes against our natural inclinations.
Yeah.
We're kind of constantly battling those internal urges, you know, those urges to choose the easier path, even when we know it's not really God's best for us.
Yeah. You know, that actually reminds me of something else that Dr. Oswald said in his lecture.
Okay.
He talks about this idea of spiritual growth, right? Being like a walk.
Right.
Which I think is a really cool analogy.
Okay. Yeah.
It reminds us that obedience isn't really about like reaching some big destination, you know, overnight.
Right.
But it's more about those daily choices.
Yeah.
Those small steps, you know, that we take in the direction that God's leading us.
Absolutely. I love that analogy. It's so true. It's about like steady progress,
yeah.
You know, not some mad sprint to the finish line.
Totally.
And just like, you know, if you're going on a walk or, you know, a physical walk, it requires that intentionality,
right.
You know,
right.
The discipline, so does our walk with God.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on a bit. So David also tells Solomon, he says, "Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go." Now, when you hear that word like prosper in the context of obedience, you know, what comes to mind for you?
That's interesting. You know, the Hebrew word for prosper, it actually has like a much broader meaning than just like material wealth, right?
Oh, interesting.
It includes like wisdom, effectiveness, and ultimately like success in God's eyes. And those might look really different, you know, from our kind of typical definitions of success.
Yeah, for sure. And I know Dr. Oswald uses that example of Amy Carmichael,
yeah.
Who, you know, achieved incredible things for God's kingdom, but still faced so many setbacks. And it really gets you thinking about what ways we often define success, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, true success, I think, might not always line up exactly with what we have in mind, right?
Not totally.
What we envision for ourselves. It's really more about aligning our lives with God's purpose for us.
Right.
Even if that purpose, you know, looks really different from what we initially thought it might be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, things take, I think, a little bit of a turn for the morally complex, I guess, you know,
yeah.
As we move from this fatherly advice into this section where David instructs Solomon to settle some old scores, basically.
Okay.
And he names three figures specifically.
Okay.
Joab, Shimei, and Adonijah.
Okay.
And it's almost like, you know, Shakespearean, the level of betrayal and power struggles, you know, going on here.
Yeah, it's a lot of drama.
Yeah. To fully appreciate it, although I think we probably need some backstory, right?
Definitely. Yeah, we need to understand who these guys are, what they did.
Yeah.
Okay, so each of these men had wronged David in, like, significant ways.
Okay.
So we have Joab. He was David's longtime general, right?
Mm.
And he had committed two murders. He had taken out these rivals, Abner and Amasa.
Okay.
And then we've got Shimei. Now, he had publicly cursed and humiliated David during Absalom's rebellion. And finally, we have Adonijah. So this is David's own son, and he actually tried to usurp the throne.
Oh, wow. So it's like, so we've got these three figures, and they've all got their own flaws, right?
Yeah.
And in a way, they kind of become like these case studies, I guess, in the consequences of disobedience.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really makes you think about, like, what can we learn from their mistakes?
Yeah. And Dr. Oswald actually points out that David, you know, maybe because of his declining mental state at the time, he basically burdened Solomon with carrying out this vengeance, right? Mm. And that's a lot to ask of a new king.
Yeah. You know, it makes you wonder, like, about the timing of it all, you know,
yeah.
Like, Could David have handled these issues differently, you know, when he was at the height of his power?
Right. Right. It's a question that Dr. Oswalt kind of leaves open for us to consider. What's really interesting is that he connects Shammai's punishment, right, to this concept of like the Lord's anointed. So Shammai, you know, he was condemned not just for insulting David, but for disrespecting the king chosen by God.
So there's like there's a deeper principle here than, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not just about like personal grudges.
Right.
It's about this reverence, you know, owed to those in authority and, right. and especially those who are seen as, you know, appointed by God.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that?
It raises, I think, some important questions about how we treat each other even today, you know,
yeah.
even though we might not think in those same terms, like the Lord's anointed in that same way, you know, it really makes you consider how we show respect, you know, how do we show respect for authority even when we don't agree with it?
Right.
And how do we hold those in power accountable without, you know, resorting to the kind of vindictiveness that we see in this passage?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Okay. Well, let's move on to Adonijah.
Okay.
So he goes to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, with this, what seems like, you know, a pretty innocent request to marry Abishag. And she was David's last concubine.
Mm.
And Dr. Oswalt really, he challenged me to think about this part.
Okay.
Adonijah seems either totally oblivious
right.
to the political implications of what he's doing.
Right.
Or maybe he didn't care.
Mm. Mm.
What do you think?
Well, it's almost like he learned absolutely nothing, you know, from his previous attempt to take the throne.
Yeah.
I mean, marrying the king's former concubine, it was a direct claim to power.
Hmm.
And Adonijah, it's like his arrogance, you know, either he didn't understand this or he just didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree. And, you know, Bathsheba's role in this is pretty interesting, too.
Yeah.
Do you think she genuinely believed that this was like, you know, a harmless request? Or was this a calculated move on her part?
You know, the text doesn't really give us a clear answer,
right.
but it is hard, you know, to see this whole episode as anything other than a power play. Yeah.
You know, with both Adonijah and Bathsheba kind of maneuvering for position in this new court.
Yeah. It definitely adds another layer, you know, to the whole story. But ultimately, as Dr. Oswalt emphasizes, you know, these men, Joab, Shimei, and Adonijah, they face the consequences of their own flawed characters, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Their choices, you know, their actions, their stubborn refusal to change, you know, it all ultimately led to their downfall. It's almost as if in this chapter, character becomes destiny.
Right.
What stands out to you about that idea?
I think what's really powerful about that is that, you know, it makes us stop and think, like, what kind of character are we building, right?
Yeah.
Through our own choices, through our own actions.
Right.
Are we cultivating, you know, virtues like wisdom, discipline, and humility?
Mm.
Or are we letting our flaws kind of, you know, run the show?
Yeah.
It's a question that goes way beyond, you know, the pages of the Old Testament.
Totally. It really does make you think. And I think that's a good place to pause for now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's a lot to chew on already.
Yeah.
It is a lot to think about. It really is. It's not just about our individual lives either. You
right.
know, our choices, they have a ripple effect, right?
Mm.
They impact, you know, our families, our communities, and potentially even the course of history.
Wow. That's a powerful thought. It makes you wonder about the long-term consequences,
yeah.
even of those, you know, small day-to-day decisions that we make.
Right.
But before we get too far ahead, I want to circle back to Shimei for a minute.
Okay.
He's the one, if you remember, who cursed David, you know, during the rebellion.
Right.
And Solomon, following his father's instructions, basically puts Shimei on house arrest in Jerusalem.
Okay.
He even gives him this direct warning.
Right.
He's like, stay put, you know, or you'll face the consequences. Mm-hmm. And Shimei, he agrees. He's probably relieved, you know, that he's not facing a harsher punishment.
Right.
But then a few years later, two of his slaves run away.
And Shimei, well, he just lets like his impulsiveness get the better of him.
Right.
He totally disobeys Solomon's direct order. And he travels out of Jerusalem to retrieve them.
Oh, wow.
It's like a classic example.
Yeah.
Of how our character flaws can really catch up with us, even, you know, years down the road.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Oswalt uses Shimei's story to really highlight the destructive power of unchecked emotions.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it kind of raises the question for us. What are the shemes in our own lives?
Right.
What are like those habits, those patterns of behavior
yeah.
that we know are harmful, but we just haven't fully addressed?
Yeah. So we got these three figures, right? Joab, yeah. Shimei, and Adonijah. And they each kind of represent these different flaws, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ambition,
okay.
impulsiveness, and entitlement.
Right.
And they all end up paying the price,
yeah.
you know, for their actions. It's a sobering thought.
Mm-hmm.
But Dr. Oswald doesn't leave us there, right?
Yeah.
He goes a step further. And he offers like this glimmer of hope.
Okay.
He reminds us that while our past choices shape us, you know, they don't completely define us.
Yeah, that's such a crucial point.
Right.
And he really emphasizes that, you know, redemption is possible, even for those who have, you know, made really terrible mistakes. And he actually uses the example of Pharaoh to illustrate this.
Oh, wow.
He points out that even Pharaoh, who, you know, he repeatedly hardened his heart against God.
Right.
He still had the potential to change. Like
right.
his destiny wasn't set in stone.
So there's always a possibility then for, yeah. for like a course correction, you know, yeah. a turning point where we can choose like a different path.
Right. Exactly. It's not about striving for some, you know, impossible perfection.
Yeah.
Dr. Oswald, he connects this to the concept of character formation, you know, urging us to really think about like what kind of character are we building? And not just through our big decisions, but through, you know, those everyday choices that often go unnoticed.
Yeah. So it's like those small, seemingly insignificant, you know, acts of kindness or discipline or integrity
right.
that gradually shape like who we are at our core.
Exactly.
Those are the things that build our character over time. It's a process, isn't it?
It absolutely is a process. Yeah. And Dr. Oswald reminds us that, you know, we're not in this alone. We have the Holy Spirit working in us, guiding us,
right.
and empowering us to make those choices that align with God's best for our lives.
You know, and that, I think, is one of the most hopeful messages
yeah.
that we can take away from this, you know, deep dive into 1 Kings 2.
Right.
This idea that obedience to God, it isn't just about, like, blind rule following, but it's about this, you know, transformative relationship
right.
that actually shapes our very character.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It takes time. It takes intentionality.
Yeah.
And it takes a willingness to let go of those old patterns
yeah.
that aren't serving us anymore.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into 1 Kings 2,
right.
what's the one thing, you know, that you would want our listeners to walk away with? What's the most important takeaway from all of this?
You know, for me, Dr. Oswald, he sums it up so beautifully, you know, with this question. If character is destiny, what kind of character are you building?
Mm.
It's a challenge, right?
Right.
But it's also like this incredible opportunity.
Yeah.
And he reminds us that, yeah, we might be shaped by our past choices,
mm-hmm.
but we have the power, you know, through God's grace to make new choices, to cultivate those virtues, and ultimately to become the people God created us to be.
Yeah, it really is like we're all like works in progress, you know.
Right.
Constantly being refined and shaped,
yeah.
you know, by our experiences, by our choices, and most importantly, by our relationship with God. And that journey of transformation, you know, that continual striving to align our lives with God's will.
Right.
That's what leads to true prosperity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Both in this life and in the life to come.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And it's not like we just decide one day and then, boom, our character's like
right.
perfect.
Right. Exactly. It's a process.
It's this like ongoing project we're working on.
Yeah. It really makes you think about like, what are we building with? You know, what are those like everyday choices that we're making? Because those are the things like over time
right.
that really add up and make a difference.
Yeah. And it reminds me of something we were talking about before, you know, about how the Hebrew word for prosper.
Oh, yeah.
It goes way beyond just like material wealth, you know.
Absolutely. It's not just about like money and possessions. Mm-hmm. It's about true flourishing, you uh-huh. know, like wisdom,
right.
effectiveness, and just living in alignment with God's purpose for us. It's about a life that's yeah. rich in character. And that really reflects God's goodness.
So if we're building our character through these like everyday choices,
right.
where do we even begin? You know, what are like the building blocks that we should be using?
Well, Dr. Oswald, he actually highlights a few key virtues in his lecture.
Okay.
Things like wisdom, discipline, and humility.
Okay.
These are like the qualities, I think,
yeah.
that can guide us towards making choices that honor God.
Yeah, right.
And that lead to that true flourishing.
So it sounds like, you know, it takes a lot of intentionality.
Yes.
Like a conscious effort.
It does.
To actually cultivate these virtues in our lives.
Yeah, it's not something that just like passively happens.
Right.
You have to like actively seek wisdom, practice discipline,
yeah,
and cultivate that posture of humility.
Yeah. And thankfully, as you said earlier, you know, we're not doing this alone.
Right.
We have the Holy Spirit,
right,
to guide us and to empower us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we have access to God's grace, too.
Mm.
And that grace, that's what enables us to make those, like, tough choices, you know,
yeah,
to break free from those old patterns and to become more like Christ each day.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive into 1 Kings 2.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
For joining us.
It's been great.
And we hope this conversation, you know, has given you some food for thought.
Yeah.
Maybe even inspired you to,
yeah,
to think a bit differently, you know, about obedience and character.
It's a journey, isn't it?
It really is.
And remember, like, that journey of obedience, it's ongoing.
Yeah.
There will be, you know, challenges along the way. But with God's help, you know, we can keep building lives that are marked by character, by integrity, and by true flourishing.
That's beautifully said. And to you, our listener, you know, we encourage you, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking that deeper understanding of God's word, you know, and what it means for your own life. So until next time.